Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
What could you do if your data was working for you and not against you? With Bloomberg delivering enterprise data directly to your systems, you get easy access to the details you want, optimized for higher level analysis, and financial data experts committed to helping you maximize your every move. Our data is made for more, so you can show the world what you're made of. Visit Bloomberg.com/enterprise data to learn more.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Tim Stenovek on Bloomberg Radio.
One of the things that we did notice was Apollo Global Management shares trading higher today. This is after the company posted record annual earnings, beat Wall Street estimates as higher interest rates powered growth at the credit-focused alternative asset manager.
Apollo, though, took a more muted tone than some of its peers on the prospect for private equity exits. Principal investing income from selling private equity assets will fall below the multi-year average target of $1 per share in 2024. That's according to CFO Martin Kelly, who said that on the earnings call.
All right, one company. We wanted to zoom out, though, for an update on all things private equity. And for that, we turn to Antoine Dreen, founder and chairman of Triago. It's a placement agent best known for assisting private equity firms with fundraising. And since 1992, the company has raised and advised clients on more than $50 billion in capital. We're getting that from its website. But we've got the man here in studio, here in our Bloomberg Interactive Broker studio. Antoine, nice to have you here. How are you? Let's start big and broad, though. How does the environment look this year when it comes to private equity?
We are going back to reality, right? After QE, zero interest rates, et cetera, we're going back to flight to quality, mostly. Mm-hmm. It's obviously tougher out there. It's tougher for exits, as you've been saying. It's also tougher on the investment side because credit is lacking. So we are, I think, going to what private equity was in the early 90s, right? Adding value to businesses and being smart about investing.
Discreet, discretionary?
Of course.
Yeah.
So does private equity thrive in an environment like that?
Not all of it. Some of it was just, you know, riding the wave, I guess. And these guys are in trouble because things are now tougher. For those who know their way within the difficult environments, it's obviously great times. They can buy great assets at cheaper prices. Mm-hmm. They can have less competition, and they can think about, you know, great growth plans.
How are you thinking about using leverage when it comes to buyouts right now, just because interest rates are so much higher?
I think it's obviously part of the game. You know, leverage can make people rich. It can also hurt or kill. I think you have to use it with a lot of skill. And that's what most of these guys are doing right now.
What do you make of, though, kind of, it's all about private credit right now? Do we continue to see, I feel like, you know, traditional Wall Street is saying, wait, I increasingly want a piece of that. How does that impact the market? How does that, impact some of the conversations that you're having with the clients you deal with?
Most LPs are indeed interested in credit.
I bet.
I mean, you go to them, they don't really want to know about private equity, nor VC growth, et cetera. They're all interested in credit. I guess up to a point. Mm. At some point, there will be probably too much available. And
money chasing too many things, or
of
not
course,
enough things.
Of course.
Right?
And like everything, you know, it's supply and demand. And when there's too much supply and not enough demand, you're in trouble.
Does it, when you say trouble, though, does it mean that it results in that we see assets being bid up in terms of valuations? And so there's going to be fallout as a result?
Yeah, and it's going to mean less. I mean, performance is probably going to be hit. I think it's not there yet, right? There's going to be a few years where the asset class is going to thrive, but at some point, I mean, things go back to the mean.
Hey, we should note for everybody who has not necessarily been keeping up, Houlihan Lokey is acquiring Triago. The deal is expected to close in the first half of the year. What does this look like for your life? What does it look like for the business? I mean, this is a big deal.
Do you go on vacation? You said good.
I'm not yet
the deal's
going.
Not closed
I'm
yet.
Not yet going on vacation. The deal is not closed yet. We have signed an agreement. We are basically done, except that we're waiting for regulatory approvals. So we should be done, as you said, in the next month. For the time being, we operate as two different businesses. But at some point, yes, we will become part of a big machine, which is great for us. Lots of new opportunities in this huge market.
Can you give us some details of the agreement? Purchase price?
Can I say no?
You can say whatever you want. That's the secret.
I'm afraid this is still something we are not talking about. Maybe when the deal is done, maybe. I mean, that's also something they need to agree to.
Maybe you could tell us what the tie-up of these two companies means for your business.
It means it's really 1 + 1 = 3, maybe more. Our strengths are their weaknesses. Their weaknesses are, you know, the opposite. Geographically and business-wise, we bring a lot of stuff they don't have. They bring a lot of distribution power to us. They have 35 offices. We have 5. We're not in Asia with Triago, which at some point, I guess, would have become a problem. So we're now much, much stronger. I mean, we will be much, much stronger.
But there is something to right being bigger. Like, I think at some point, because there is so much competition, that when you can be a house that offers a lot, like as you said, there's not a lot of overlap. There's power in that, and there's something about increasing your presence physically that makes it easier.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think there's going to be more consolidation in this space for that same reason. You want to be a giant or nothing.
Right, and I'm assuming when clients come to you, they want a lot of things that they can play with or work with. Hey, you have shared with us your 10 outrageous predictions for private equity in 2024. What's your most outrageous? So I've seen the list.
Some of them, you know, in the past, some of them did happen.
So maybe not so outrageous.
You know, I guess the most outrageous is probably Carl Icahn and Nelson Peltz buying all the distressed funds out there. I think I put the 40 billion number in there. There will be lots of fallout from funds. There has to be some cleanup. And there aren't many players doing that already. So these guys or similar entities could probably, you know, do a lot in that space.
Hey, one thing I was really surprised to see on your predictions for 2024 was Amazon creating an online private equity exchange, the so-called category killer. Carol and I have spoken about in the past couple of years the idea of private equity. You know, private equity providers want to access to people's 401ks. They want to make this thing, you know, that just not just high net worth individuals have access to. What do you mean by Amazon doing this?
I think the asset class needs fluidity. A few years ago, it wasn't really needed because the retail investors were not playing in that game. Today, it's a complete different story. And I think these people especially need to know that there's a way out, right?
But that's one of the reasons why returns have been good, is because it's you get that high return in exchange for locking up your money for, you know, 10, 12 years.
Yeah, but you can still get a very decent return even if you leave the show, you know, in between, right? And that's an option. It's not, I guess, that most people stay where they are, and 99% of the paper, the private equity paper, stays where it is. Trades account for roughly 1%. My bet is that, especially if such tool exists, you know, we may go to 5%.
Just got about 30, 40 seconds left here. I love this one, though, about Michael Jordan, Serena Williams, and Blue Owl. Consolidate private equity sports investments. I mean, sports private equity, man, it's a love affair.
Again, a prediction.
A prediction. Don't
this
like
one, this one could happen.
30 seconds here. This one could happen.
I don't know about the names. I don't know about the people. But there's private equity and sports.
Yeah.
As you said, is a love affair. And there's a lot to be done in the space. And it's still pretty, you know, there's much more to be done compared to other sectors where most of the action has been taking place already.
There's something too on AI, which I love. AI hits turbulence in private equity backed acquisitions. I love that because I feel like maybe take some of the froth out, maybe.
It's an art, not a science. And human beings are still needed in the space.
Come back soon. Let us know how things are going. Antoine Dreen, this was fun and interesting and engaging. Founder of Triago, joining us here in our Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio. I'm Carol Masser, along with Tim Stenovic. This is Bloomberg.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Well, not sure if this has been on your radar, but cases of syphilis, which, yes, was once were once on its way to being eradicated, are soaring in the U.S. Numbers are hitting levels not seen for 70 years. This is according to the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So think about it. Syphilis at one point was on its way to being knocked out completely.
Well, it's a different time now, and yeah. It's kind of startling. More than 200,000 cases were recorded in 2022, the latest figures show. That's up 17% on the previous year. If left untreated, Carol, the disease can cause blindness and even death.
All right. For more on this, we turn back to Dr. Ian Lusbader, clinical professor of medicine at NYU Langone Medical Center. He is on Zoom in New York City. Great to have you here and great to be talking with you, Dr. Lusbader. Again, I hope you're well.
Everything is great. Hope all is well with the beautiful Carol and handsome Tim.
Aw, well, thank you very much.
Good to see you.
You will
Dr.
keep coming
Lusbader.
Back after that. No, we're doing well. Just trying to keep up with kind of the news flow. Having said that, this, you know, speaking of news flow and headlines, you know, we are always interested in various health issues. This caught us by surprise. Tell us about what's going on when it comes to syphilis and the cases that are increasing.
So we really go from macro events, geopolitical events, Powell interest rates to the micro, from macro to micro. Syphilis has been around for centuries, and STDs have been around for centuries. Syphilis is a small spiral bacteria called the spirochete. Really goes through several phases after an acute infection. It goes through a primary and then secondary phases. It can become latent, where really there are no symptoms. And I think that's the biggest issue in those several phases after that initial physical contact, where there may be an ulcer, a sore, a chancre. And the rate is going up. We have rates of STDs going up, 2.5 million cases, all told, chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, herpes. Now, syphilis can be asymptomatic after the initial ulcer, and that's really the problem. Is that we need to screen people better for this. It's not just a disease of, you know, over 55 communities in Florida. We see this across all groups, in young people, in gay men, in heterosexuals. So we really have to screen for it. And pregnant women have to be screened as well. We're seeing an increase in neonatal syphilis, which can be very devastating for development. So it is very concerning. The number of cases, 200,000 a year just of syphilis alone, easily treatable with antibiotics, bicillin, penicillin, which is easily available. So the key thing really is screening patients, asking people when they come in, ask your doctor, well, can I have an STD panel? That tests for HIV, mm-hmm. It tests for syphilis, okay. Gonorrhea, it tests for hepatitis.
Dr. Lusbader, I'm surprised to hear you say that it's easily treated because we know it is easily treated based on the medications, but aren't these medications historically, at least in the last couple of years, haven't they been in short supply? I mean, I'm talking about penicillin and then bicillin as well has been in shortage?
Bicillin. Bicillin is a certain form of intramuscular penicillin.
Okay.
Typically, you know, a big syringe in the butt, which may be why people get a little afraid of that. Yes, you're exactly right. Recently, supplies have been short. That's no reason. There are other alternative and oral medications that can be used. That's really no reason not to be tested. And for physicians, there are other options. We also have infectious disease specialists. If you get a positive result on a blood test and you're not sure, refer to an infectious disease specialist so that the patient gets the right treatment. All pregnant women, young sexually active people, but even older people should be tested if they're single, if they're sexually active. Really, there's no reason not to screen everyone on a regular basis.
Why are we seeing an increase in cases?
Well, I think there are a variety of reasons. Certainly, when people were let out of the gate after COVID, everyone was, you know, sheltering in place in 2019 and 20. We've really seen an explosion, people going out. I think we've dropped our guard. People are not using condoms or barrier methods. I don't think people are really thinking about it. And I think sometimes doctors are uncomfortable to say to young people or old people, how do you feel about doing STD screening? Usually, if you bring it up in the office, patients will say, sure, it's an extra vial of blood, that's fine to do. So I think it's a combination of patients not asking and doctors not asking. And I think there's been more contact. And I think, Tim, you're right, because of a little less availability, doctors may have been reluctant to test for it or treat for it. The problem with syphilis is people can be asymptomatic and spread it, unlike gonorrhea or chlamydia, where typically you have painful urination or a drip. Syphilis, after the initial infection, may be asymptomatic. Patients don't even know they have it. They can present non-specifically, fever, rash on the hands, swollen lymph nodes. So it can be tricky to diagnose.
Dr. Lustbader, I'm wondering if sort of this big shift has happened in recent years with the way that people think about this stuff. You know, when I was growing up, HIV was a death sentence for people. And the incredible advances that we've seen in treating HIV and making it so essentially people are able to live with HIV at this point, very long and healthy lives. I'm wondering if we've seen, if that is part of a shift in terms of how we think about STDs as a society, that we're no longer sort of scared straight with this stuff.
You're so right. I think that's exactly the case. I think it's off people's radar internationally and globally. There's something like 7.5 million cases of syphilis. Forget the other STDs, that's just syphilis, 7.5 million globally. So people who travel, people who may have encounters overseas, we really need to raise it on the radar. And you're right, now that HIV rates are coming down and it's more treatable, we give patients at risk pre-exposure prophylaxis, a once-a-day pill for HIV to reduce their ability to transmit it to other people or to acquire it. So you're right. I think our guard is down with the more traditional STDs because HIV is more manageable these days. We really need to raise awareness, and it's good that you guys are raising awareness.
So what would you suggest to individuals who are maybe listening and thinking, okay, how do I kind of incorporate this into my own medical care and make sure I stay on top of this?
You know, once a year, there's no harm if you're sexually active or more frequently than that. Certainly if you engage in high-risk behavior, every time you see the doctor a couple of times a year, in addition to whatever testing, PSA, cholesterol, ask to have them put in an STD panel, which tests for hepatitis, herpes, gonorrhea, chlamydia, syphilis. And if any of those are positive, early treatment means better treatment, less likely to transmit it to someone else. And if you have atypical symptoms, a rash or fever, swollen lymph nodes, raise the possibility there's no harm in doing a blood test. And if they're positive, then it's eminently treatable, usually earlier on. Later on, it's harder to treat.
All right. Well, some good advice and something to think about when we, you know, in terms of just your own healthcare. Hey, listen, Ian, thank you so much. Always appreciate getting some time with you. Dr. Ian Lusbader, he's clinical professor of medicine at NYU Langone Medical Center, joining us on Zoom from New York City.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way. From design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/greenfestival.